Do you have the answers to my questions? Do you hold the keys to what I'm searching for? Do you have the answers to my questions? In my mind, beyond our world, there must be more.
It's time for Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Taya J, joined today by Hillary McAllister. Hillary, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Oh, I'm so excited. I love your show. I love this radio station, and I love Talkin' Music. It's such a wonderful thing for all of the people that get to listen and also share their stories and some of their music. So thank you for doing the work.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. It comes naturally, and I enjoy every moment of it. So I consider myself pretty lucky.
Yeah, it seems like a dream job.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely have moments where I'm like, I have the coolest job ever.
For sure.
I have lost my voice, so I apologize to you and our listeners. I'm sounding like a 12-year-old boy over here.
It's
a little croaky, but yeah, I'm trying to embrace it.
You might as well.
Yeah. So, Hillary, I'd love just to start out to hear from you how you describe the music that you compose and make.
Well, I think the most important thing I would have to say about that is that I don't feel like I compose or make it in a way that I'm sure that other music makers can relate to that, and that is that I'm just following marching orders, and almost all of them arrive in the middle of the night between 3:30 and 5:30 in the morning, and it's a very consistent process that happens for me. I wake to a song, and I record a brief voice memo so that I can capture what I consider a DNA or a song seed. It may only be 5 seconds long, but it could be a little bit longer if I'm lucky, but either way, I'll have some DNA to work with. And if I can just capture that, then I can get back to sleep, hopefully, and return to it whenever the time is right. And when that happens, I can listen to that little snippet, and an entire song can come forth out of that. But I have never sat down to write a song. Like, that, to me, is a very different kind of process, and it's not my process. And I'm very fortunate to be kind of writing this wave of insane, you know, creativity and inspiration just coming to me with these songs. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, amazing. Have you done any thinking about why it comes to you in your sleep, what it is about the subconscious that brings these melodies to life?
I've been told that's just a time when it's sort of the thinnest veil between being conscious and unconscious, and perhaps other worlds, if you will. So I have to believe that, because there's just no other explanation I can think of, you know, and I don't, songs don't come to me during the day, for instance. So it's completely magical. I mean, it's all, you know, endorphins and goosebumps. And I've heard a lot of people say to me, you know, I'm so lucky, or that, they've never written a song, or they couldn't write a song. And I have to really hold back my reaction, because I know they can, and mostly it's just about listening for those tiny little nuggets of seeds that you might dismiss, but oh my gosh, there's a song there. And don't question it, don't overthink it, just work with it. Don't try to make it better than it is or bigger than it is. It can be simple and precious and be the best song you've ever brought forth. So yeah,
and you just alluded a little to just that delicate balance between pushing a creative process too far, or, you know, pushing it just far enough, or pushing it too far, where you take it, you know, beyond, so far beyond its original form that you don't even know where you started, or you don't even know where that initial inspiration came from.
Exactly. And also the idea, I love this quote I heard, and I couldn't tell you exactly who said it, but it was, life is a dance between making things happen and letting things happen. And I just think that's a beautiful quote, and something I carry with me all the time, because you know, there are times when you have to push a little bit to advocate for yourself or to get something done, but then you also have to be listening and rolling with the flow. So they both have to happen for things to happen.
Yeah.
Get anywhere.
Nicely said. With that in mind, Hillary, can we start off the show with a song? What do you want to play for us first?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think that I gotta take a look at this. Why don't we go ahead and play a song from a little sample CD I put together for KVNF, and it's actually one that came through for someone that people in our community may know and love, and it was written for him and his friends and for me as well, but let's play a song called Tall Paul.
Perhaps you know our friend Tall Paul. To me at least you all are tall. But this Paul is more than tall, a poet nomad with love. Lucky be the dog he pats, lucky be the cat on his lap. If you were in a hospital bed, you'd want him there right by your head. But he won't need to bring you flowers, his presence is his healing. Oh, to have him by your side on his magic carpet ride. Nothing like a friend, nothing like a friend, nothing.
Tall Paul from Hillary McAllister joining me today live on Talkin' Music. Hillary, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
I've heard you mention this process that you knew music was something that you were longing to make, you were wanting to make for a good period of time, but that there was maybe some fear or resistance that got in the way of that. Will you speak to that experience a little bit more?
Oh my gosh, yes, I would love to do that. You know, I think that we all have to struggle with perfectionism in ourselves and in our pursuits, and it can certainly, not only can it stop you from getting something done, but it can stop you from trying in the first place. So I think the first thing that we need to do is just let go of all of that. And life under a cloud of fear, it's an easy place to dwell, actually. And I think it takes more courage and effort to get out from under that cloud. So indeed, I spent my whole life telling myself I could not do this. I've been on the receiving end of the magic of music my whole life, which has been the most important driving force in my life since I was a child, in that I don't think anything moves us the way music does. Nothing two-dimensional can do for me personally what music does. And, I mean, it can make us, allow us to feel feelings that we can't otherwise feel. Maybe we're sad and we need to be happy, so we might lift up with some music. Or maybe we need to immerse ourselves in grief music that will allow us to feel some pain and sadness. That's really an important part of it, too. And, course, we can unite around music to motivate us to link arms and march and, you know, pursue a cause or send a message that way. But at the end of the day, to let fear hold us back and tell ourselves that we can't do something, we're usually the only thing in the way of us realizing our dreams. And I was in the way of myself for 53 years, and it took me that long to say, I can step into that ring just like anybody else can. I can do this just like anybody else can if I apply myself and work hard and listen to the voices, the muse, and allow it to come through. And so, yeah, it takes a little bit of bravery, but it's so worth it to put that fear aside and move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Will you elaborate a little more on how it feels now in retrospect, now that you are making music, to sort of to have pushed through it and to have, you know, maybe you haven't gotten all the way to the other side, but to be moving in that direction? Will you speak a little bit more about that?
Certainly, yeah. That makes me think of one of my favorite words. The word is called cottywomple. And, you know, it's to travel purposefully toward an as-yet unknown destination. So for sure, I'm not there, and I don't know if I'll ever get there or what that there is, and it doesn't matter at all. But I'm so amazed that I can say that I'm living the best, most rewarding, fulfilling, engaging, stimulating, you know, years of my life that started in my 50s. And I think a lot of people have this perception that your life is over by the time you get to your midlife or your late life. And, you know, I'm like totally here to tell you that is not true, because I had also given up in a way and sort of stopped dreaming and stopped allowing myself to believe I could be anything but what I had been sort of subscribed to my whole life. So,
and I think that's so important. The more people remind us of that, hopefully the more it will become a common thing in our culture and our vernacular to think that you can do anything whenever you want to do it if you have the conviction and the persistence.
For sure. And you also reminded me, I wanted to quote this other book that I'm reading right now. Currently, it's a book called Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott. And there's this fabulous quote in there, and she says, writing a novel is like driving a car at night. You can only see as far as your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. You don't have to see where you're going, and you don't have to see your destination or everything that you pass along the way. You just have to see 2 or 3 feet ahead of you, and that this is some of the best advice for writing or life that she has ever heard. And I just thought, oh my gosh, what a fabulous thing to think about.
I love that.
That's where I'm at.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I love that book. It's one of those books I feel like that you can return to over and over again anytime you feel stuck, anytime you feel stagnant.
It hit me.
Yeah.
It really hit me. So yeah, I'm loving that.
That's beautiful. Hillary, I would love if you would share another song with us. What should we take a listen to next?
All right. Well, I also have... I always write from experiences, too. This particular one, I did a yoga class, and I'm not very good at this, apparently. So anyway, I left this thing and thought I was going to have a double knee transplant. So I at least I got a song out of it. So it's called Flexible Like You.
I want to be flexible like you. Do all the things that you can do. Stand on your toes and look so good in every pose. Wish I could, wish I might, wish I could to be strong and tight. How can this be so hard? Pressured, so twist. Flexible like you. flex you do. You are so long and lean. How do you do these things? I'm looking in from outside at this yoga scene. I wanna be flexible like you. Do all the things that you can do. Stand on your head and touch your toes. And look so good in every pose. I wanna be flexible like you.
You look so good in every pose.
I wanna be beautiful like you.
You look so good in every pose.
I wanna have discipline like you.
You look so good in every pose.
I wanna have peace within like you.
You look so good in every pose. You look so good.
Heard Flexible Like You by Hillary McAllister joining me today on Talkin' Music. Hillary, you are based in the North Fork Valley. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if you'll speak to the value and importance of local music culture and what your experience of that has been in this place in particular.
I am thoroughly amazed and impressed and awed by how much art and music there is in this valley. It is for sure one of the things that holds my attention and keeps me interested in being here. It seems like every person I talk to is either a musician or a painter or something fabulous I really feed off of that. I spend a lot of time at the Creamery Arts Center in Hotchkiss because it's very close to my home and it's a very accessible art center for anybody to do pretty much anything. And they host an open mic there, and that is similar to what happens at Louis, that, you know, Janine Renee hosting Beat Night with all the originals. And I really just have to mention those two things because they're integral to me in terms of how I get to explore and experience and discover new people in this valley. Some of them are very accomplished artists who have just moved here from somewhere else and don't really have an outlet or don't really have a community. Or they might be someone like myself 4 years ago, just starting out, never having spoken into a mic or made any music of any kind. So to me, those places are critical, but there's obviously some, you know, fabulous venues here as well. And I don't know, it's just it's very thick and rich with creativity and music. And I mean, I'm just so grateful to know some of these artists and get to know some of these musicians and call them my friends.
Yeah, and I think creativity feeds creativity as well. You know, it's really hard to make work in complete isolation. You need spaces, you need people, you need places and community in order to kind of test your own work out a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Talk to me about the medium that you use to compose. You do a lot of electronic songwriting or song composition, correct?
Mm-hmm. I guess the way I think about it is that the music comes to me in an almost completed form in my mind and in my dreams, as I said. And so I'm hearing percussion, I'm hearing bass, I'm hearing keyboards, I'm hearing, it could be horns, and I'm hearing a lot of voices in that. I'm extremely harmony driven in terms of my music. You know, basically I grew up in a time when all the music I was listening to was in some way, shape, or form, you know, harmony-driven music. I mean, whether that was Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Fleetwood Mac, ELO, I mean, you could just go down a long, long list. Chicago, the Eagles, I mean, all that stuff was is all harmonies. And I am completely wired that way. So I was pretty much required to find a method that would allow me to actually create music that had those components in it. And how do you do that? I mean, do you have 12 people in a band that you can count on that are as committed to your work as you are? No, you know, that's just not realistic, unfortunately. I would love to be performing with other live artists, but, you know, at the end of the day, I've got a lot of work to do, and I can get a lot done when I'm working by myself in my studio. So I work with a laptop, and I work with a program called Logic Pro X, and it's just a wonderful recording studio program that has a beautiful, beautiful sound library in it, pretty much unparalleled in terms of the quality of the sounds that you can get out of it. And I record multiple tracks of my vocal harmonies and then whatever instrumentation I hear for a given song. And it's always different. And there's no formulaic way that I approach writing any given song. It could start with a bass line. It could start with something percussion. It could start with a voice. But it's not formulaic. It doesn't come together the same way every time. And I love that about it. It feels free. It feels fresh to me. The experience, I don't tire of it at all. I can't get enough of the process, so, yeah.
Hillary, are you an artist in any other form?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm a chronic artist, and you know.
Great term.
I can't get away from it. I've tried to scale back, but yeah, it doesn't matter. I have to be doing something all the time. I've got to be drawing or writing or sewing or painting or, you know, doing something. I'm a maker of things, and also I think I'm also a puzzler. I like to solve puzzles and problems, and there's no question the more I do it, the more I can see the parallels of any kind of puzzle with my music, because, you know, when you sit down to do a puzzle, and sometimes the obvious thing to do is the border. We're going to do the border first, and the rest is after that. Well, sometimes you go for the big ball of red in the middle of it, right? Because the border is too hard to do first. And that's exactly how the music is for me. Sometimes I have to approach it from a completely different direction in order to get at the song that I'm trying to create or pull out of my head. And that's why it's so magical, because it just takes me along and I follow, and it's just a joy-filled journey all the time.
Yeah, and I love the idea of art mediums being in conversation with one another and informing one another, whether you recognize it or realize it or not.
Right, and we're always using different parts of our brains, right? So, like, if I'm in the studio working on a song and I've reached critical mass in terms of just, oh my gosh, I need a break from this, I may step away from that and go draw something, or I may step away from that and go actually do a puzzle or sew something or write, but I'll just switch gears to another form and using a different part of my brain.
Hillary, you are playing the Sage Alley Happy Hour on Friday, September 2nd from 5 to 7 p.m. Super excited about that show. Will you talk a little bit about what we can expect, what it'll be like to see you live? It sounds like, you know, so much of your composition happens in your studio, and so yeah. I'm super curious about that idea of bringing what sounds like a relatively intimate process out into the world and letting us in on that a little bit.
Exactly, yeah. And that it is a challenge, more than a challenge for me, to get my music live out of the studio and in front of an audience. So I'm doing the best I can to make that a credible experience for everyone involved. But at the end of the day, what I'll be doing is I'll be singing a live, you know, lead vocal to recorded background tracks that will fill out the song, that you'll hear my vocal harmonies in the background and the instrumentation that I have. And one of the things that I have to sort of honor in my way of sharing live is just that, you know, I can be almost more present with an audience, because I'm just focused on the audience and singing, and I'm not even focused on a guitar. Like, you know, there will be no guitar tuning, which there's nothing wrong with guitar tuning, but it's, you know what I mean? It's like there's really going to be nothing between us, and I love that. And I can also say that I've been connecting with, you know, my reason for doing this, and my reason for doing this outside of the studio is it's all about connecting with people and sharing that love and those endorphins that come with music and singing. And so it's like if I were in a room and maybe like lights were blinding my eyes and I was singing to an audience I couldn't see, I just don't know if I could stand it, because to me it's so important, for my experience at least, and hopefully the people in the audience, you know, that I could see every person in that room, you know, and share some love and share a glance and, you know, feel each other's presence, and not, it matters, you know, otherwise why be there, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Good. Well, folks, if that didn't sell you on it, I don't know what will. Just a reminder, that is the Sage Alley Happy Hour on Friday, September 2nd from 5 to 7 p.m.
And I'm also going to sing the next day, Saturday, a one-hour show at the Creamery in Hotchkiss in the evening. That's just a shorter version, but a very different space, and it'll be from 7 until 8 o'clock on Saturday, if you can't make one or the other. You know, it might be more convenient for people in that part of the valley. So, yeah.
Excellent.
It's a big weekend.
Yeah, it is. Well, thank you so much for making time for us, Hillary. I'm going to have you take us out on one last song, but I just want to say, really appreciate you bringing up the sort of the importance of overcoming your fears and just reminding our listeners that age doesn't have to limit you. You don't have to be limited by anything, right? You just have to.
Especially yourself.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we're real good at that.
We are excellent. Best of all, probably. So just thank you so much for showing up just as your genuine self, and just reminding us all that if you have an inclination, if you have an inspiration That's inside right. of you, trust it, follow it. Mm-hmm. And don't
give up. And don't let the gatekeepers get in your way either. Just put those people aside and keep moving forward. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Such an important message. Hillary McAllister, thank you so much for joining me today on Talkin' Music.
Thank you,
Terry. I'm going to have you take us out on one last song. What should we hear?
Oh, let's do something light and fluffy. It's a song that might be called the Amazon song, but it's actually called And the Box It Came In. Let's do that. Okay. Good to see you guys. Thank you so much, Taya, again.
My pleasure. Thank you, Hillary.
Well, I don't know about you, but I've been ordering stuff. Those gadgets and things, well, they began to stack up. But God bless the internet for stuff that's hard to find. Don't have to leave my shows up on my step. Then all of these things accumulate. Before you know it, a certain fate, critical mass you can't abate. Too much to bear, but there's more. The box that came in.